This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. My name's Daryl Ong, and this week it's all about scrummaging and tackling as we look into the life of a professional rugby player who's been making a name for himself in Japan. Growing up in Sungai Petani, Dineshwaran Duke Krishnan was always fascinated by sport and the life of a professional athlete. He got his first taste of rugby with the Bukit Matajamat Rhinos in 2007. He was 19 years old and was spotted by the National Under-20s coach and represented the side in the ARFU Under-20 Championship in Brunei. In 2008, he joined Cobra Club and was fast-tracked into the senior national team that year, where they lost the final Division 2 game against Thailand. Right now, he plays for Yamaha Jubilo, a rugby union team based in Shizuoka, Japan. The team also is a part of the Japanese rugby's top league, making him the second Malaysian to ever play in the International Professional Rugby League. The rugby sensation joins us this week as we get an insight into the Japanese rugby scene.
For me, I'm committed to the rugby when I was 19. This is where I just got selected from Brunei under 19. At that time, I'm like, okay, I want to play rugby. Let's see what can I get from rugby. Then I got selected to play for Cobra, which is, I feel like, a really big achievement. Because at that time, Cobra was like most top team in Malaysia. So all the schoolboys' dreams, like rugby players' dream, like they want to play Cobra. So at that time, I feel very proud to play for Cobra. So at that time, I'm just playing, keep on playing with Cobra and just learning from senior players, and they have some Fijian players. Mm. And I've been playing with Cobra for like 7 years. Then 2010, we make it to Commonwealth for the national team, sevens team. And at Commonwealth, that I got to score a try. We didn't win any match, but I got a try that makes me like, man, I think I can do this. So from there is my pick, from all right. 2010.
And then, you know, fast forward, you went to Japan 2 years later. Talk me a bit through that whole process. It's not, number one, rugby isn't a particularly popular sport here in Malaysia. Yeah. And also for a Malaysian to play rugby abroad, that's pretty unique, man. Tell me a bit about that story.
So, yeah, I've been playing with sevens, with the national team and everything. And we had invited a player. He was playing in Japan called Mark Lee. He born in Malaysia and grew up in New Zealand. And he willing to come back and play for national team because he say like he doesn't matter how long he goes, he still want to play for the national team, and he come back and play. And we guys was roomie at that time.
Roomies, okay.
Yeah, roomies at the Johor. We guys stay at Johor for some friendly match. And then we guys was talking, and I'm asking him about how is Japan's life and everything, and he been telling me. And then he told me like, bro, I can introduce you to my agent, and if you like, just give him some footage and he might help you. And then he introduced me to his agent, Johnny Jibenda. Then I talked to him and he asked me to send the footage and everything, and I sent the footage and he's like, okay, bro, I will let you know if anything. Then I've been waiting for 2-3 months. And Cobra at that time, they have a tournament at Hong Kong 10th, and Cobra fly to Hong Kong 10th. Then I fly out to with Cobra and I met Johnny there. Johnny was there.
Okay.
Then I met him there and we guys talk and he's like, okay, bro, I will work on it. Then like I'm come back to Malaysia and started to playing with Cobra and national team and everything. Then he hit me up. He's like, bro, I got a trial call for you. If you would like to go, I will set a trial with Yamaha, Jubilo and a few more clubs. And my first year, like my first club to Yamaha for a trial for 2 weeks, and I make it.
You made it straight away. What made you choose Yamaha over the rest?
The coach, the head coach, Mr. Kiyomiya, he know that I'm not up to that level yet. So when I get to Japan, I struggle for the whole year. I didn't make it to the first team. He know I'm not up to that level yet, but he see the potential in me that I'm really want to do it. And I can see that he trusts me. He come and shake my hand like, okay, I sign you for first year.
Right.
And we see.
I mean, safe to say that now you're a mainstay in the team in Yamaha Jubilo. But doesn't it still surprise you? You know, you grew up in Sungai Petani in Kedah, you know, thousands of kilometers away from Japan. Does it still surprise you that you're actually there doing what you love?
It's not surprise me. It's for me, it's like, it doesn't matter where you're from. As well, you work hard, you can make it anywhere you wanted to, yeah.
Playing in Japan, talk to me a little bit about how it has improved your game.
Japanese style is they're very fast and quick. I think they're small, so they're very quick in the play and they work hard for whatever they want to. So when I get there, first thing I learn is the hardworking style, like how you work hard. So they teach you how to work hard, at the same time work smart. And that's what we are like in Malaysia. We don't have that yet, you know, the rugby knowledge, like how to work hard, at the same time work smart.
And in terms of, you know, the Japan rugby scene, you know, what are some of the differences you see with that scene as compared to Malaysia? You know, the crowds, you know, the infrastructure set up in Japan.
Yeah, actually, if you call the sports, like rugby is not really big in Malaysia. At the time when I start playing rugby, when I go back home and tell my boys, like, I play rugby, they don't really know. They're like, the one, the big guards and everything. I'm like, no, that's American football. Rugby is different, bro.
And those are easily confused, right?
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm like, no, bro. And I have to explain to them that, you know, the ball which just look like egg, but we don't wear the guards all.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that one, bro, that's a very risky game, man. But now I'm like, people know rugby. After this SEA game, when they win the gold, that was like...
Last year, yeah. Being in Japan, you know, what are some of the things that you learn about rugby that you've never knew before?
I think being humble, actually.
Being humble.
Yeah, because I see the like players from All Blacks and everywhere, and they come and talk to you. You look at them like, man, this guy is like the All
superstar.
Blacks player. Yeah,
right.
The superstar. But he come and be like, hey, bro, what's up? How are you? So that things is... like teach you something to be humble, like how far you go, you always have to support the next person next to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a guide the young boys or anything.
Team spirit kind of thing, right? You played football and hockey when you were young as well.
Yes, I did. I play soccer for Academic Perlis in Perlis for a year probably, but I didn't make it.
Was it because, you know, you're just good in rugby? That's why you didn't try to pursue the other sport? Or
nah, I played that sport before I played rugby. Mm. And when I played rugby, I had a lot of people guiding me with me, like, bro, you can do it. Especially these Fijian boys, Isoa Turua, who used to play for Cobra, Kini Rasolo-Solo, and other players from outside too. They always look at me, they're like, bro, you have the Fijian's physique, man.
Fijian's physique. Yeah.
So I think you can play like one, you know, like just try hard and I don't know, I can run. So they're like, bro, you got the speed, you got the physique, so keep on going, bro, you will be make it something.
Yeah, physique, right? I mean, you have a very uncommon Malaysian body.
Yeah.
do you think that, you know, physicality, does it give you an advantage in the game?
For myself, I see it as my advantage, since I'm tall and can run. But for rugby, this is not the things. Like, I have my teammate, like, way smaller. Yes, I have my scrum half is, like, half of my size. You know, it's, like, really small. So physicality is not, like, a really problem for rugby. It's all about the heart.
And also, I guess it's based on positions, right?
Yeah.
The position you play.
I play lock, so they need someone tall and who can, like, flexible to do things. It's like I can jump and do the scrum. But for a scrum half, you need to be, like, quick and you need to be, like, more wise
agile.
Thinking, yeah.
Okay. Talking a bit about Japan, I guess the culture of rugby kind of compares to the culture of baseball, right? It's a cultural event, right? People come out to the streets at night, you know, march down to the stadium to watch the game. We don't see that even with, you know, football, for example, here in Malaysia. You know, we don't have that same kind of like carnival kind of experience. What do you think the Japanese are doing right in terms of grassroots and education and exposure of the sport, even to the young?
I think it's about the love of the sports. Like, they actually get to know the sports like from A to Z. Like, even for rugby, I see the supporters in Japan, I'm like, are they really, like, I feel like it's too good to be true,
right?
You know, sometimes it looks fake. And for me, like, bro, really they love the rugby that much until they can fly over from really far. We guys just get up to there for camp, like rugby camp.
Mm.
And they was there coming and watching our camp, and it's like heavy rain or cold in the winter, they're still there. So I think it's just like the love of the game, you know, they're not just talking, they actually love the game.
And I guess for you, it's kind of a culture shock, right, coming from a place like Malaysia. Do you remember your first game, you know, the first time you walk onto the pitch?
Yes, I actually not really happy about that because they gave me my first year. They gave me 15 minutes for play in a tournament against Yamaha versus NEC Green Rocket. And I can't even last for 10 minutes. I'm like, my back is pain because the pace of the game in Japan is really, really different than Malaysian. So it's like, I'm like really tired. I'm like, man, my back is pain. I'm like struggling to breathe. I'm like, man, where am I going? And panicking. But I learned from that. And that time I look around, like the whole crowd, like keep on looking because I'm the new big guy in the team.
Right.
And they looking for me to do something, you know, like, oh, this is a new player for Yamaha and we want to see how he playing.
Yeah. It's always that expectation, right?
Yeah, the expectation. And I don't know if they expect or not, but I'm imagining like, oh, these whole people will be looking at me right now and I don't want to do, I want to do something special, but I can't breathe right now. So that's one worst experience for me.
I mean, you mentioned that you have to learn to keep up with them, right, in terms of the quickness of the game. What was the added things to your training to make up for all of this?
My trainer, he put me under the real Japanese traditional, like tires, like rolling the tires.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah,
like, I have some photos on my page too, like, man, this is the training that I'm going through right now.
Military training almost.
Yeah, it's almost like, he told me that this is a Japanese traditional training style. And it's actually worked. My next season I did, like, the things is like really helped me.
And you find that it was hard to close that gap that you didn't have?
At that time, I feel like I want to make it. That's all. I don't feel like it's very hard or something. But now I'm thinking, I'm like, man, I have been through all this. So it's like, it won't be hard if you like really want it to.
Right now you're out injured. You suffered a
broken arm
last year. But on a normal day of your normal routine, you know, take us through your whole training session.
In Japan, morning, we just wake up at 5-6 o'clock, gym. So I will wake up around 5 o'clock and coffee and just chill, get ready for the gym. And then after the gym, you guys will be going for the, if you guys had any injuries or any muscle pains, we guys will go meet the physio. And after that, I will have a one-to-one meeting with my coach, head coach. So he will tell me what he want me to do this week, like what position he want me to be and what.
For the upcoming game.
Yeah, for the next game. And he will talk to me about the last game, like my mistakes or what I should do better. And then I will go and watch my game, my last game or my last yesterday's
on
training.
On video, right?
Yeah, on video. They have videos. Every day's training, they record. So we will go and watch that all. And then we'll get ready for the evening training. So before that, I will just go home, rest for one hour, a quick nap and small snack and just get back to the next training.
There wasn't a mention of meals at all in that whole routine. I mean, snacks, small snacks, yes, but diet, right? What kind of meals you have?
My diet, I don't really go diet, but I do balancing. If I go really high calories food today, tomorrow I will take it easy.
Okay, got you. Right, so that isn't like a set schedule, you know, this is what you must have. Okay.
My first development year, they had give me a schedule like, this is what you can have because we want you to lose this much of fat, and because I was a bit fat when I'm living from here.
Right. It's your sixth year in Yamaha Jubilo, and you said you used as the lock, right?
Yeah.
What would you say is your signature style of play?
Mine, they have they call PP ball, which is a cross kick from to the side, and my coach always want me to stand on the side. Normally, my position, they will go in and play the rucks, hit the rucks, and clearing ball. But normally, me, after scrum or after the lineout, I will be staying on the side because I can run. So the coach want me to run with the wingers, with the fast guys. And normally this, like back in Malaysia, they're like, why are you always standing in the winger side? And my coach want me to stay there. You know, he want me to play with the backs. And my hooker too, he got some skill, which is he can play like a center. He can sidestep, dummy and do. So we guys are good combined, every time staying on the sideline. So the ball, when it come wide, we guys there, it's like one of Yamaha's signature play.
Okay, that's interesting because, you know, rugby, I guess, in a sense, is very technical. You know, the formation needs to be maintained. So, you know, to mix it up like that, I'm sure for you it was a big surprise, right? Like, coach, you want me to stand here, not there?
I used to tell coach, like, coach, I'm boring on the sideline already. Let me go in the middle. And like, no, we want you to stand there because that's one of our because of I'm and my hooker standing there, we will pull like three guys from the opposition team to watch us. So that's where they, in the middle, they got the gaps to run.
Right. You played one of your first few games in rugby in the 2010 Commonwealth Games in Delhi.
Yes.
And you mentioned that it was the tournament that make you change your perception of rugby and your whole life, essentially. This is where you kickstarted Duke Krishnan career, right?
Yeah. We just got there with Thomas Sitama. The coach's name is Thomas Sitama. And first time he took us to Commonwealth at Delhi. And we guys got smashed by Samoa and everything. And then we guys playing the last game, we guys going to play against Uganda. And Uganda was doing good too. And our national team captain, Sahir Ashraf, he's like, bro, I tell you what, you just stand on the side, same like you stay there, I will pass you the ball and all you got to do is just run. And that time I'm like, do you really want me to stay there? And he's like, yeah, you just stay there, I will give you the ball. And he gave me a great pass, like really quick one. And I take off. When I get the ball, I don't see left or right. I just take off and I score one try. I'm like, man, is that easy? Like, I can just listen to somebody. And then from there, I'm started to imagining rugby in different way. I'm like, so this is that I started to understand the technical of rugby from him, like from Sahir Ashraf. Right. We call him Saho. It's national team captain. Mm. And from there, I started to imagining rugby with the technical style. Okay, the rugby is not just like take the ball and run straight to somebody. It's about where you're finding the gap, like where you have to do stuff and you have to communicate with your teammates and you have to like give and take with the teammates. Sometimes your teammates got better idea than you. You have to listen to it.
Right. So the game kind of plays out like chess, lah, right?
Yes.
So you got the pieces has to be there for the play to work. Duke, you're also a well-traveled man. I mean, you've been to South Africa to train with the Blue Bulls.
Yes.
Was that like a pilgrimage of sorts for every rugby player to visit like a legendary team like this?
I don't know every rugby players, but for me, that was a dream come true because I grew up looking at big players from South Africa like Victor Matfield, Bucky Sbotha, and they all used to play for Blue Bulls. Blue Bulls team who win the most Super Rugby trophies in South Africa. So they're one of the big team in South Africa. And these two are called the world legends, like one of the legends.
The great, yeah.
So when Yamaha sent me to, for me first I was like, man, really? You want to send me to South Africa for 2 months? But when I get there, I'm like, man, this is one lifetime chance. I wouldn't have got this if I say no. And I actually get a chance to sit next to Victor Matfield have a lunch and chat with him, like how he doing in rugby and everything.
How's he like in person?
Well, he's very nice. Like, that's what I told you. Like, rugby, they are like really open. And Blue Bulls, actually, they have a culture, say, they don't even know you. But if they look two eyes on you, they're like, hey, bro, how are you? Like, they know you. You know, that's... Everybody have to do that. It's a Blue Bulls rules.
It's a gentleman's game after all.
Yeah, so a legend, like you're growing up looking at him and all of a sudden he come and talk to you like, hey bro, how are you? You're like, oh man, I'm good. I'm like, man, this is Victor Matfield. Like, actually I'm looking at Victor Matfield. And I ask him like, bro, can I sit here with you? And we guys just sit down and I'm talking to him, say I'm from Malaysia and playing in Japan. And they send me over here for... like learn more rugby, and I'm trying the whole season. I couldn't make it, so I'm looking forward to my next season if I can do something better. So these boys, like they all tell me like, you know, Japan select you because you have something special. So don't try hard to be somebody else. If you have somebody on your mind like, okay, I want to play like Victor Matfield or Bucky Sbotha, you try to work hard like them, but don't try to play exactly like them because you can't be them. You have something special skill with you. So make use of it.
Be inspired by them, but not follow them.
Yeah, don't follow like exactly like what they're doing.
Right.
Then I come back to Japan and when I come back from South Africa, I was thinking like, okay, this year I'm going to go back to Japan and I'm going to do what I can do. And if they take it or not, it's up to them, you know.
And it turned to work out well because in 2015, Yamaha Jubilee was named Team of the Season, making it all the way to the finals at Japan's top league. On top of that, the team also won the All-Japan Rugby Football Championship after a 54-year drought. I mean, what do you attribute this success to? It can't be just Victor Matfield talking to you, right?
Actually, I call this, I'm very lucky to be part of it because they've been working, like the players who've been there with the club, been working from really low to Apia. And when I'm joined the club, the Yamaha is already in top 5. So I give this victory to all the players who used to play for Yamaha Jubilo, which is they work hard to bring the team to Apia, and I'm really glad to be part of it to wake it up to the first team.
What has been your best highlight of your career so far?
The Japan champion, and then the Division 1, we make it to this Premier League this year for the national team, Malaysian national team.
Yeah.
That will be my best too.
All right, yeah. It's great that you brought back the conversation back home to Malaysia. I mean, rugby in Malaysia, we won our first ever goal at the 2017 KLC Games last year. Definitely opened a lot of people's eyes to, you know, wow, Malaysia can play rugby, right? Yeah. Malaysia is actually good at rugby. How do you feel about this win, and do you think this opens a lot more doors to younger talent coming up?
I think the boys did very well in SEA Games. I was watching the SEA Games and everything. And actually, yes, it does open people's eyes. Like, rugby is one of the game which is...
We can win.
Yeah, so we have the talent of rugby in Malaysia and everything. And we started to get a lot of support too, like from family, from government and everything. So I think rugby right now in Malaysia is like fast-growing sports. And in future, I'm looking forward to rugby becoming same sports, less same glamour as the football, maybe.
Right. Do you think, though, that Malaysia can be a rugby nation?
I think we can, because we have the speed, physique. I got mates who really big, but they already can't play now because it's too late for them. But I see young boys who growing up, like really tall, really big, same as me. So I'm looking forward to see some good players come up and play for national team. That's why every time I go to any schools or something, I tell them to playing for national team is a pride. So keep that level. Like, always think about, I want to play for national team one day. Mm. And hopefully you will make it.
Duke, you're turning 30 this year.
Yes.
Sorry to mention your age on there. But you mentioned that you want to retire in about 3 to 4 years' time, right?
Yeah, because I don't want to make it too late by 12. If I can make it until 35 or 37, but at that time I might be busy with my next chapter of career. So I'm thinking if I retire at 33, I still can come back to Malaysia and give back what I have learned in Japan or anywhere.
Would that be in terms of coaching?
Yeah, in coaching or anything. So I think 33 will be a good time for me to retire and come back and share my knowledge.
All right, great stuff. Anyone that's listening to this now wants to get into rugby, not sure about it, maybe too small like me, what would you tell them? You know, what advice would you give aspiring players?
Well, tell them to come join rugby and you will learn, because when I started, I was fat, like really fat and soft, and a lot of people used to laugh at me when I'm running. They say I'm run funny, and here I am. So this is not difficult. It's not about your physique. Every body style, we have a position for them. So you can just come and join us, and I'm pretty sure you will enjoy rugby.
That was Dineshwaran Duke Krishnan, professional rugby player based in Japan, playing his trade with one of Japan's top rugby teams, Yamaha Jubilo. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's episode. Do remember that if you'd like to check out the interview again, head over to our website www.bfm.my to download the podcast. If you'd like to tweet us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget that the best way to keep in touch with our latest updates is by downloading our app via Google Play or the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week on Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.